What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, and we're coming at you on this Wednesday, hump day edition of Swag Talk. Gonna preview week three action. Couple games on the schedule this week. When the schedule was made, there was not supposed to be any games on this week because of the Swag basketball tournament. They wanted to do a league-wide bye week to give teams and schools the opportunity to just focus on the SWAC basketball tournament, but because of weather and COVID, two games got delayed and they got pushed to this weekend. So Saturday, March 13th, Grambling and Prairie View are doing battle in Arlington, Texas, for the State Fair Classic, and Jackson State and Mississippi Valley are facing off on Sunday, March 14th. So, gonna be two good games this week. So we got a little bit of football action. We're also gonna do a little bit of basketball. Gonna go over the schedule and whatnot for the SWAC basketball tournament. Honestly, haven't really been paying super duper close attention to basketball this year because everything is just so topsy turvy with COVID, and then football being in the springtime. You know, my attention really went to that. So, unfortunately, I know it's been a pretty good season when they have been able to get games in. So just been unable to really partake in any of them. So we're going to go ahead and not waste any more time and going to go ahead and get started. Facebook.com/SWAGTalk, Twitter.com/SWAGTalk76, Instagram.com/SWAGTalk, and SWAGTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. So week two was very interesting, not really just a crazy week. You know, they had a couple good games take place. Pine Bluff picked up their first victory over Southern in quite some time. Jackson was able to defeat Grambling on a last minute fumble and pull that game out. And hopefully these two games that take place this week will also be the same. So we're going to go ahead and talk about the first game of this week, and that's Grambling and Prairie View. This game was supposed to open up the season, but like I said, because of damage to the Cotton Bowl during that winter storm that came through, game was unable to be played on February 27th as scheduled. So they pushed it back to March 13th, and the game will kick off at 3 o'clock. So in Arlington, Texas at Global Life Stadium. So new venue, same matchup. They still calling it the State Fair Classic. So it's same matchup, new venue, same teams. And both these teams come in off of up and down performances. First games for each one last week. Like I said, Grambling lost to Jackson State 33-28. They come in at 0-1. So statistically, Grambling comes in averaging obviously 28 points a game, allowing 33. They have 12 first downs rushing, 14 passing, and 3 by penalty, giving them a total of 29. The opponents, 11 first downs, 9 rushing, 9 passing, 1 by penalty, giving them 21 first downs. Grambling ran for 203 yards on 46 carries, averaging 4 yards per carry, 182 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. The opponents, 298 yards rushing on 47 carries, 6.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Grambling was 25 of 38, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 240 yards. The opponents, 12 of 18. 180 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Total offense, Grambling 422 yards on 84 plays. That's 6 yards per play. The opponents, 65 plays, 473 yards, 7.3 yards per play, 5 touchdowns. Grambling averaged They averaged 28.1, I mean, excuse me, 34 yards per punt, and the opponent's 38.6. Grambling had 11 penalties for 55 yards. The opponent, 6 penalties for 38 yards. Grambling, 6 of 14 on third downs, 42%. 1 for 1 on fourth down. 1 for 1 on fumbles. Lost it. Fumbled once and lost it. No sacks. Red zone, 4 of 5. And they scored 4 touchdowns in the red zone. They allowed 8 of 13 third down conversions for 61%. No fourth down attempts for the opponents. Two fumbles and lost both. 2 sacks for the opponents. 3 of 5 in the red zone, and all 3 were touchdowns. Grambling is led in rushing right now by Jeremy Hickbottom. 16 carries, 81 yards, 5.1 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. CJ Russell, 11 carries, 51 yards, 4.6 yards per rush, no touchdowns. Keelon Elder, 15 carries, 36 yards, 2.4 yards per rush, 2 touchdowns. And Damian Brooks, 4 carries for 14 yards, 3.5 yards per carry. Hickbottom passing 24 of 35, 68%, 237 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Walker, 1 of 3 for 33%, 3 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. James, leading receiver, 6 catches, 87 yards, 14.5 yards per catch, no touchdowns. Clark, 8 catches, 75 yards, 9.3 yards per catch, 1 touchdown. Ross, 5 catches, 38 yards, 7.6 yards per catch. Brooks, 2 catches for 20 yards, 10 yards per catch. Russell, 1 catch for 9 yards. Richardson, 2 catches for 8 yards, 4 yards per catch. And Johnson, 1 catch for 3 yards. Defensively, Matthews, leading tackler with 12. Fontenot, 10. Anderson, 8. Dunn and Mitchell with 7. Martin, 6. Powell, 6. Williams, 5. Foster, 4. Estes and Sheffield with 3. Carter, Fields, Green, and Richard each had 2. Tackles for loss. Matthews and Williams with 1 apiece. Anderson, Martin, Powell, and Clark each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. As I said, no sacks and no interceptions. So, you know, Grambling was in that game for good stretches. They actually had led us at one point, and then they fell behind and fought back into it. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond. Are they going to, you know, what they're going to do to build on this effort? Because this was a game that they really probably feel like they should have won. And this is a game I agree that they probably should have won, but they let it get away from them. And they're facing the Prairie View team that comes in 1-0. They defeated Texas Southern 20-19 in a game that was honestly almost a game that almost got away from them, because they had Texas Southern pretty much behind the eight ball for a while, and they let them back in. They, like I said, 20 points per game right now, 19 allowed, 5 rushing first downs, 11 passing, 1 by penalty for a total of 17. 6 first downs for the opponents rushing, 10 passing, 2 by penalty for a total of 18. Kirby ran for 121 yards on 30 carries, 2.9 yards per carry, two touchdowns. Excuse me, they gained 88 net yards. So that's even lower than the total yardage gain. So 88 yards on 30 carries, good for 2.9 yards per carry. The opponents, 176 yards rushing on 42 carries, 4.2 yards per carry, no touchdowns. Purview was 20 of 41 passing, 228 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The opponents, 25 of 33, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 172 yards. Total offense, 316 yards for Purview on 71 plays, 4.5 yards per play, 2 total touchdowns. The opponents, 348 yards of offense on 75 plays, 4.6 yards per play, 2 total touchdowns. Prairie View average. They averaged 32.7 yards per punt. They allowed 38.3 yards per punt. Third downs, Purdue was 2 of 13 for 15%. 2 of 4 on fourth down for 50%. They didn't fumble. They had 4 sacks. And they were 4 of 4 in the red zone with 2 touchdowns. The opponent, 6 of 16 on third down for 37%. 0 for 1 on fourth down. They fumbled 4 times and lost 2. 3 sacks for the opponents. Opponents were 3 of 3 in the red zone with 2 touchdowns. Purview was led in rushing by Kristen Mosley with 10 carries for 37 yards. That's 3.7 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. TJ Starks, 6 carries, 21 yards, 3.5 yards per carry. Ahmad Antoine, 7 carries, 15 yards, 2.1 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Jazon Connolly, 4 carries for 11 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. And Bernard Good, 2 carries for 4 yards. That's 2 yards per carry. Passing, Starks, 10 of 21 for 47%. No touchdowns, 1 interception, 151 yards. Connolly, 10 of 20 for 50%. No touchdowns, 1 interception, 77 yards. Washington led the team with receptions and 5 receptions for 57 yards. 11.4 yards per catch, no touchdowns. Kalen Riles, 3 catches for 51 yards, 17 yards per catch. Travis O'Connor, 5 catches, 46 yards, 9.2 yards per catch. Holden, 2 catches, 39 yards, 19.5 yards per catch. Chris Johnson, 2 catches for 16 yards, 8 yards per catch. Tony Mullins, 1 catch for 14 yards. Bernard Good, 1 catch, 3 yards. And Kristen Mosley, 1 catch, 2 yards. Dory Jackson led the Panthers with 17 tackles. Drake Cheatham with 7. Evans, 7. James and Trayshaw Smith each had 6. Dumas, 5. Mullins, Momore, Turner, and Stubble each had 4. Carter, Dyer, Green, Hawkins, Obi, and Victorian each had 2 tackles apiece. Tackles for loss, Jackson with 4. Dumas, 2.5. Evans, 2. Smith, 2. James, Turner, Carter, Green, and Hawkins, and Obi each had 1 tackle for loss, and Momore had a half a tackle for loss. Sacks, Dumas with 2, Obi with 1, and James and Jackson each had a half a sack apiece. Interception was by Jalen Harris. So, Purview is definitely coming into this game with a lot that they need to build on. The Texas Southern game really didn't go necessarily the way that anybody thought it would go. It was closer than I thought. I thought it might be close early and Purview would be able to pull away, but they actually started off pretty fast and slowed down, and Texas Southern was able to make a game of it. Purview is going to have to be able to run the football. That's just, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Running for 88 yards against a team like Texas Southern, which is, I'm not meaning any disrespect to them right now because they seem to have improved, but running for 88 yards is not going to win you very many games. Especially when your passing game is not that explosive. You completed under 50% of your passes as a team. So numbers weren't good at all, but they were able to pick up a win. I mean, it's a rivalry game, and, you know, you can always count on some crazy things to happen in games like that. So that's, you know, I don't take a whole lot from that. And it's early. That was their first game of the year. You know, sometimes you can be sloppy in your first game. So we'll see what they do. But this is, you know, going into Grambling, coming off of a game like that, is kind of a cause for concern. Grambling, you know, they look good in spurts against Jackson State. They did have a late turnover that really hurt them bad. But they offensively, Grambling is what they have been the last couple of years. You know, a team that wants to run the quarterback and throw the ball when they have to. Defensively, they still playing pretty good. They're not like lights out. They're not lights out right now, but they're getting there. And I feel like this is a game that, you know, Grambling's gonna win this game. The one thing about this matchup is every year you never know how it's gonna go. 2 years ago in 2018 it was a really defensive game. I think it ended up like 22-16 or 22-19 or something like that. And then last in 2019, it was a high scoring offensive game. This year, I think it's probably going to be a lower scoring game unless Prairie View's offense gets going. So I'm going to say 24 for Grambling and 20 for Prairie View. I think it's going to be a mid-20s type game. Those kind of games can go either way. I feel like a couple turnovers will probably be the difference in this game. I'm not right now. I think Prairie View defense is going to carry them. I have to see some improvement from that offense and see some guys step up and take charge of being the next guys at Prairie View, replacing Tucker and Morton. So the receivers they have a good group of guys who did play a lot last year. So they're gonna have to step up and help those quarterbacks out. But low completion percentages are not gonna win you a whole lot of games. So there's a lot to work on for both teams, and this is a game I think you really wish that this was a regular length season, so you could have a couple games to get under your belt before you play a big game like this, because this is a big divisional game for each team. So that you don't want to fall too far behind in the division in a short season. So this game I'm gonna keep my eyes on Saturday, and we're gonna move on to the Sunday game. Jackson State hosts Mississippi Valley. 2 o'clock kickoff. This game will be on ESPN2, so you can actually catch this game on TV and not just on the internet. So if you don't do the ESPN3 thing, you can actually catch this game on television. So y'all can thank Coach Sanders for that. Jackson State would not be on TV at this point without Coach Deion Sanders. So you guys can really thank him for the exposure that he given this team. So And this is a game. I really wish last week's game was the game that was on TV. This game, I don't really think it's gonna be very close. Valley's not good. I'm not even gonna mince words. And they haven't played a game at all yet this year. So this is a tough outing for Valley to come in having not played any football at all this year. And playing against a team that's played two games and kind of is working the kinks out. The cliche is that you improve the most between your first and second game. For some teams, that didn't come out to be true this year. For Jackson, you have to kind of take into account what they played in the first game. They had their moments where they didn't look as sharp as they probably will later, but they're building up confidence and momentum. So Valley probably got them at the really wrong time. And Valley doesn't play that good away from Itabena. So first game on the road, this can get ugly. And I feel like it probably will. Jackson State, they're coming into this into the game averaging 43 points per game. They're allowing 14. They have 25 first downs rushing, 20 passing, 3 by penalty, giving them 48 total. 14 first downs for the opponents rushing, 19 passing, 4 by penalty, good for 37 total first downs. Jackson State has run for 476 yards on 89 carries, good for 5.3 yards per carry, 238 yards per game, 6 touchdowns. The opponents 203 yards rushing on 75 carries, that's 2.7 yards per carry, 101 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. Passing 37 of 51 for Jackson State, 216 yards per game, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, 432 yards of passing offense total. The opponents 34 of 59, 161 yards per game, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 323 yards per game. Total offense, Jackson State 908 yards on 140 plays, 6.5 yards per play, 12 touchdowns, 454 yards per game. The opponents 526 yards of offense on 134 plays, 3.9 yards per play, 4 touchdowns, 263 yards per game. Jackson State is averaging 37.1 yards per punt. The opponents 33.2. Jackson State is 13 of 24 on third down for 54%, 1 for 1 on fourth down. They fumbled 7 times and lost 2, and they have 6 sacks. 11 of 13 in the red zone. Nine of those 11 scores were touchdowns. The opponents, 7 of 27 on third down for 25%, 2 of 4 on fourth down for 50%, 2 fumbles and lost both. 4 red zone attempts for the opponents, 4 of 5 in the red zone, and all 4 were touchdowns. The opponents have not had any sacks yet on Jackson State. Tigers are led in rushing by Tyson Alexander with 21 carries for 195 yards, 9.3 yards per rush, 1 touchdown, 97 yards per game. Kimani Clark, 37 carries, 162 yards, 4.4 yards per play per carry, 2 touchdowns, 81 yards per game. Jalen Jones, 18 carries, 78 yards, 4.3 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 39 yards per game. Greg Williams, 11 carries for 57 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, 57 yards per game. Quincy Casey, 2 carries for minus 16 yards, minus 8 yards per carry. Jones, 29 of 37 passing for 78%, 343 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, 171 yards per game. Quincy Casey, 8 of 14 for 57%, 89 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 89 yards per game. Receiving, Daylon Baldwin, 10 catches for 165 yards, 16.5 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 82 yards per game. Warren Newman, 12 catches, 130 yards, 10.8 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 65 yards per game. Kylan Richie, 3 catches for 48 yards, 16 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 24 yards per game. Christian Allen, 4 catches, 41 yards, 10.2 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 41 yards per game. Washington, 2 catches, 17 yards, 8.5 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 17 yards per game. Corey Reed, 4 catches for 16 yards, 4.5 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 8 yards per game. Clark, 1 catch for 11 yards, 5.5 yards per game. Alexander, 1 catch for 4 yards, 2 yards per catch. I mean, 4 yards per catch, 2 yards per game. Keontae Hampton leads the team with 13 tackles. Miller, 8. Arrington, 7. Paul, 7. Pillow Smiley, 7. Adams, 7. Hooks, 7. McIntosh, also 7. Crane, 6. Warren, 6. Berthley, 5. Barnett, 4. Gladney, 4. Mitchell, 4. Reagan, 4. Carter, 3. Lyles, 3. Willis, 3. Brinkley, 2. And Corbin with 1. Tackles for loss. Crane, 2. Arrington, 1.5. Hampton, 1. Miller, 1. Hooks, 1. Warren, 1. Mitchell, 1. Lyles, 1. Lopez, 1. And Clark, 1. Half a tackles apiece. Paul, Pillow Smiley, and McIntosh. Sacks, Arrington, Mitchell, and Arrington, Mitchell, Lopez, and Clark each had 1 sack apiece. Crane and Lyles, Pillow Smiley, and McIntosh each have 1/2 a sack apiece. No interceptions on the season. And they're facing the Valley team right now, who I could honestly say right now I have no real idea what they're going to bring to the table. They lost their best offensive weapon from last year. So that, you know, that definitely would not help them. It's kind of tough to really say what they're going to do. I mean, they defensively, they were pretty good last year. They offense just didn't get them enough opportunities to make anything happen. And I think that's going to be the case again. I think defensively, Valley will be able to, you know, hang in there for a little while, but offensively, they won't really be able to get a lot done. So I don't look for them to score very much. I'm going to say 35 to 10, because I think the defense will hold Jackson, especially early. I think they'll make enough plays early to keep them in it. And Valley probably get an early touchdown, but I don't think that they're going to have the horses to really hang in there and fight like they probably would if they had any kind of an offense. So that's gonna do it for the week three previews. Like I said, there's only two games on the slate, one Saturday and one Sunday. We're gonna take a little look at basketball now, since we are in the SWAC tournament. This is, you know, March Madness is right around the corner, so we're gonna go ahead and take a look at what's going on with that situation. We'll start with the women's bracket. All right, game one of the women's tournament is number two Alabama State against number seven Texas Southern. That game actually took place at 11 o'clock today. Gonna get you some information on that one. Game two, number one Jackson State against number eight Mississippi Valley. That's a 5:30 kickoff tip off. I'm still in football mode, y'all. Please forgive me. That's a 5:30 tip off on Thursday. Southern and Alcorn hookup. Southern 3, Alcorn 6, 11 o'clock tip off. And the 4 seed Grambling State takes on the number 5 seed Alabama A&M. That's a 5:30 tip off. That's on Thursday. So we got a little bit of action going on. And I the two teams I would really probably look at in this are the number 1 seed Jackson State and the number 2 seed Alabama State. I wouldn't count out Southern because Southern has actually swept Alabama State. And if those two teams win their first round matchups, they will face off on Friday at 11 o'clock. The other quarterfinal winners will face off also on Friday, and that will be a 5:30 tip-off. So right now, I would put my money on Jackson State because they're playing really good basketball. They have a very talented team and a tall team at that. So they're going to be a team that's tough to get out in a tournament setting. But the 2 and 3 seeds are also a team that can probably have a better chance of winning. The championship game is Saturday, March 13th at 1:30 p.m. The game is on ESPN3. All games in this tournament can be found on ESPN3. So if you want to catch a little swag basketball, those games are available to watch at this point now. And we're gonna jump over to the men's side, and this is the side where I really think, honestly, almost any team in this can win because there's been so much up and down in the season. You have two teams who actually finished undefeated in conference play. You know, that's something that never happens in basketball. But this is a COVID year, so we actually had a situation where Prairie View and Jackson State both finished undefeated because they didn't play each other not once this year. So that's an interesting thing to see two teams face off against each other that have no history against each other this season. So looking at the schedule for today, March 10th, Jackson State takes on number 7, Arkansas Pine Bluff. That was a 2 o'clock tip off. Game two, Prairie View plays number 8, Mississippi Valley, 8:30 tip off on Thursday. Number 3, Texas Southern hosts where it plays number 6, Alcorn. That's a 2 o'clock tip off. And the 4-5 matchup on Thursday night at 8:30 is Grambling at 4 and Southern at 5. I would honestly say probably from 1 to 5, they all have an opportunity to win this tournament. I think anybody under the 5 seed is pretty much out. Southern's the 5 seed. They're not the most consistent team out there, but they capable of playing really good defense. And they can score from time to time and get themselves an opportunity to be in games. But Prairie View is hands down probably the best team in the conference. So if I had to really put my money on anybody, I would put my money on them. It's just, you know, I mean, they have shown time and time again that they are the team to beat. Hopefully we can get that Prairie View Jackson State matchup in the championship, because it would be bad if those two teams were to play and not have any kind of matchup at all, Jackson State was to get knocked off by somebody else before they got to Prairie View. So hopefully that, you know, that can take place. Looking at the semifinals, those games are on Friday, March 12th. 2 o'clock tip off between the winner, the 2-7 winner and the 3-6 winner. So that would be, if I had to just throw out two teams right now, I would say Jackson State, Texas Southern. They would play on Friday at 2 o'clock, and the Prairie View Grambling Southern winner. I don't know who will win out of Grambling and Southern right now. They both split each one at, on the road, so that's gonna be a pretty good matchup. But they most likely will play Prairie View. I mean, I know you can't really pencil in nobody. This is just, you know, my chalk guess. That game will be a 8:30 tip off on Friday, and the championship game will be Saturday, March 13th at 5 p.m. Again, all games are on ESPN3. So, you know, really you have opportunity to really take a look at these games if you can, and watch them and see some good swag basketball and support the teams as they play. Right now, at half, Jackson State leads Pine Bluff 28-20. So looks like Jackson State is doing pretty well in that game. If they can hold on, they'll be the first team to advance to the semifinals. And I'm gonna hunt down a score for that first women's game, and then that way we can kind of have a better idea of who's moving on in the SWAC tournament. You know, you really can't beat this time of year. And now with spring football going on and baseball, this is, you know, if you're a sports fan, SWAC sports fan, HBU sports fan, whatever you want to call it, if you're one of them kind of fans, this should be heaven for you, because you have championship basketball on tap. On the weekends, the conference play is taking place in baseball, and now you have football. So you really can't beat that. The winner of the first women's game was Alabama State. They beat Texas Southern 85-69. So they will advance to the semifinals. That was a 2-7 matchup. And they'll semifinals on Friday to take on the winner of Southern and Alcorn, who play on Thursday. So one team has already advanced from the women's side, and we're working on getting one team advanced on the men's side. So keep your eyes on the tournament. And that's going to do it for the show today. Like I said, I just wanted to kind of hop in real quick. We didn't have a lot of football on the docket. And just wanted to kind of preview the couple games that we have and do a little quick rundown of the basketball tournament. And we'll be back on Sunday to recap the State Fair Classic and talk a little bit about the women, the SWAC tournament, because by that point, both tournaments will be decided. Sunday is Selection Sunday, so we'll find out where each winner will go, respectively, men and women SWAC champions, where they will go in the tournament. The Jackson State Valley game is on Sunday, so I'll recap that game on my week 4 preview. So we have a full slate of football and basketball taking place. So, you know, if you're able to attend a game, you know, please do. But if not, remember, all games are on ESPN3. So that's a good opportunity and a good look for everybody. So we'll be back on Sunday to talk a little bit more SWAC action. We'll see you then.